The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, Don't Limit God. And I tell you, this is something that God said to me directly. I took the scripture from Psalm 78:41. It says, and they limited God. God spoke that to me supernaturally, January the 31st, 2002. And since then, my life has changed. And so this is kind of a follow-up on that teaching then. But, you know, God's been speaking this to me again about how I need to start believing God and start dreaming bigger. We have seen huge increase, and I am moving towards the goals that God has given me, and I'm seeing more people's lives change than ever before. But you know what? There's more to go, and I got to think bigger. And so God was speaking this to me recently, and I just taught an entire seminar on this in Phoenix, Arizona, at this special resort. We had a January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd conference. I believe I'm going to make that a yearly thing. I'm really excited about that. And so anyway, I thought it would not only benefit me, but it would benefit you to share these things. And we're seeing people's lives change. I believe that all of us are shooting too low. We are acting like God, you know, is just, it strains Him when we start believing God. I tell you, God is so awesome. He's yearning for us to challenge Him, to believe for something big. You know, I do believe that most people are shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. We just feel like it's nearly an imposition on God to start believing for things. God wants us to believe big. I remember a man came to me one time for prayer, and he had pain in his neck, and it went down his back, and he had a sciatic nerve that went all the way down his leg and into his feet, and he was naming all of these things and all of the problems that he had. And I was just listening, and he says, but you know, the neck is what really bothers me. If I could just get the neck healed, I can live with the rest of it. And I looked at him and I said, oh, I understand. I said, if we were to pray and ask God to heal your neck and your back and your sciatic and your feet all at one time, I mean, the lights in heaven might dim. I'm not sure God has enough power to do all those things at one time. And, you know, this guy just kind of laughed and he says, that was kind of stupid to say, wasn't it? And I said, it certainly was. And you know what? We do this all of the time. Like, oh, God, I've got three or four things wrong, but if I could just get one of them, I could live with the others. Man, God's a big God. It's not going to drain. The power in heaven's not going to be, you know, it's not going to put a drain on that for you to receive everything. And God wants us to believe big. I'll tell you what, I just think it's tragic. Tragic that we live for 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, and our life basically hasn't amounted to anything. You know, I know that by me saying some of these things, that this is uncomfortable to some people to even think that your life could be wasted and that you didn't reach your full potential. And so people don't like this, and so they tend to turn off the television. Let's go to something else that will numb you and keep you doped up so that you don't have to deal with reality. I know it's uncomfortable, but you know what? It's necessary. When you die, is anybody going to miss you? Have you made an impact so that, you know, something would, there would be a void? You know, it'd be a shame to live for 60, 70, 80 years, whatever, and not really have accomplished very much, just occupied space. You know, if you aren't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Praise God, you need to get out there on the edge. It's out on the limb where the fruit grows, not hugging the trunk. You got to get out on the limb, start swaying in the breeze a little bit. That's where the fruit is. I'm trying to encourage you to believe God for something. So the very first thing that we talked about is that you've got to recognize that God doesn't sovereignly make everything come to pass. Your life is not just automatically controlled by God. You have a choice. Boy, that is super important. I spent 4 days on that. And then for the last 3 days, I've been talking about that God has a plan for every single person. Every person. It's not just the super saints. It's not just the leaders in the body of Christ. It's not just the pastors or the full-time ministers. Every Joe Blow or Jane Doe Christian has a specific purpose that they were created for. God gave you your talents and abilities and everything about you, including, you know, the color of your skin, your sex, the time that you are alive, the country that you are living in. Everything about you was chosen by God to accomplish a purpose. You can't just do your own thing and ask God to bless it. You know, I heard Kenneth Copeland just yesterday, I think it was, and he was preaching about when the Lord called him to preach, and he was doing some other things and being relatively successful, and God spoke to him and says, it doesn't matter what you do or how successful you become, when you stand before me, you're going to give an answer for whether or not you preached. And you know, I believe that that's absolutely true. There may be people watching this program that maybe you're doing good things. Maybe you are helping people. Maybe, you know, it's not maybe it's not that you're out here doing something that is terrible and hurting people. Maybe you're doing good things. You're trying to use your talents and abilities. But are you doing what God called you to do? Do you know that it's what God called you to do? Not everything that is good is God. Oh, that's a big statement right there. Not everything that is good is God. There may be some of you who are doing good things, but is it a God thing? You know, in my own ministry, this is absolutely true. I have people all of the time trying to get me to do this and this and this. And you know what? I'm at a position now and we have an income and we have people working with us and all of these students that there's a lot of things I can do. But if you want to kill a man's vision, give him two. You know, the power of a laser lies in the fact that it's all concentrated on one point. If you diffuse that light, well, then it ceases to have the impact. But you can take a laser and concentrate it and literally cut through metal with a laser because it's concentrated. That's the way that it has to be. You've only got one chance, one way to totally reach your full potential and do what God called you to do. And you've got to be focused on it. And if you are diffused doing good things but non-God things, it will destroy you. And so in our ministry, I have people all the time that want me to start orphanages and do all of these different things. You know what? I support many orphans, dozens of orphans, and I give money and I do those things, but that's not what God's called me to do. That's not the focus of my ministry. I know what God called me to do, and that's to teach His Word. God has made His Word fire and put it in my mouth, and when I speak it, it's affecting and touching people. And this is what God has raised me up to do, and I'm focused on what God has called me to do. There's other things that I do, but it's not my focus. You have to know that what you're doing is what God has made you to do. Boy, those are powerful statements. And again, I know that there's some of you watching this program that this is uncomfortable. You've become comfortable. You've succeeded to a place that you're okay. You could retire and sit and do nothing. And your life is now secure. And this is taking away your security. So having you have thoughts that, have I possibly missed God? I'm not saying any of these things to torment you, but it is true that sometimes before you can be edified, you have to be terrified. You have to lose your complacency. And I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, that God created every one of us for a purpose. And that someday we're going to stand before God and you're going to answer for the purpose that you were created for. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you aren't going to be punished and rejected, but it'll be like it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's going to put a match to your works. And if they were wood, hay, and stubble, that means things that you did, even if they're good things. They don't have to be demonic things. They could be good things. Maybe you became very successful, had a 7-digit income or whatever, and you just were people, you won all of the prizes and most likely to succeed. Did you know if that wasn't something God directed you to do, then it'll burn. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble. And so if you stand before God and haven't found God's purpose for your life, God's not going to punish you, but He is going to hold you accountable. And if it was, even though it was good things, if it wasn't what God wanted you to do, all of that is going to be nothing. You won't get rewards for the things that you did that were outside of God. There are going to be people that stand before God, probably the majority of people that stand before God, that are going to look good in the eyes of the world, but after God puts the fire to it, it's going to be reduced to ashes. You aren't going to be sent to hell, because if you're born again, your acceptance of Jesus grants you access to God. But all of these good works are going to be just burnt and become nothing if they weren't ordered by God. I tell you, you got to find out what God's purpose for your life is. That's it. You are limiting God. You know, I'm one of those that I don't have great talents and abilities. I'm not, you know, real talented in the physical, natural realm. I was always mediocre in everything I did, in my sports, in everything, in school. I've just always been mediocre. I never excelled in anything. And so I'm not what, like some of you. Some of you just have great talents and abilities, and you can go out here and do things. In a way, I feel sorry for you. Because you know what? That means that you don't have to be dependent upon God. You can succeed in your own effort. I'm the kind that I couldn't succeed just on my own effort. Man, I was going nowhere. When God finally came across my path and told me what He wanted me to do, I was quick to respond because I didn't have any plans. I didn't have any goals. I didn't have any great abilities. I didn't have any deception about that I could go out and do things. In a sense, it's bad, in a sense, to be so talented that you can prosper without God. In a way, it's wonderful to be to a place to where, God, I can't do anything. The truth is, none of us can succeed the way God wants us to. None of us can reach our full potential without finding God's will for our life. That is absolutely true of everybody. And it's a blessing to be at a place where you know it. And you know what? That's what I came to. I came to realize that, God, I can't do anything without You. I am absolutely dependent upon You. And God revealed Himself to me. These scriptures that I was using on my program yesterday, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't just for the super saint, for the full-time Christian minister. This is for everybody. It's your reasonable, normal Christian duty is the way some translations translate that. And then in verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To get to where you understand the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, you have to do two things that are listed in Romans 12, 1 and 2. The first thing is you got to be a living sacrifice. I talked about that yesterday. That's really God's will for your life. And then the second thing, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says there in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You've got to not only be transformed into what God wants you to do, but you've got to move away from being conformed to this world. The world is putting pressure on you and trying to pour you into their mold. That's what the word conform there means. It means to pour into the mold of. And this world is a fire. There's not a single person watching this program that is going to exit this world with the same way that you entered this world. You come in totally innocent, and I guarantee you life is hard, and there's hardships, and there's rejection, and there's problems, and there's things. And I guarantee you, you are going to be melted. You're going to go through a fire sometime in your life. And so you can't escape being melted. But you know what you can do? You can choose which mold you want to fit into. You don't have to be conformed to the image of this world. You don't have to be poured into their mold. You can choose to go after God and let all of the pressures and the hardships and the fires of life just melt you and conform you more to the image of God. You have that choice. So you've got to resist being conformed to this world. Resist loving the same things that the world loves. Resist being exactly like your neighbors that don't know God. There ought to be a difference between live people and dead people. People that don't know Jesus are dead. People that know Jesus are alive. We have been born unto everlasting life. There ought to be a difference in our life. We have to resist all of this sameness that the world is trying to put us into and be transformed. The word transformed there is the Greek word metamorpho. It's the word that we get our word metamorphosis from. That describes the process of a little worm becoming a butterfly. If you want to change from a creepy, crawly, earthbound thing to something that is beautiful and that can fly, the way you get transformed is by the renewing of your mind. So there's two things that are listed here. You've got to be a living sacrifice, and then you got to turn away from the thinking of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on to say, latter part of Romans 12, 2, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. I believe that that's also saying that, you know what, you don't just go from never having experienced God's will into the completion of God's will all in one step. You don't go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour in one instant. That's not acceleration. That's a wreck. That's disaster. I guarantee you, you have to move on things slowly. And when it comes to finding God's will, there is first the good and then the acceptable and then the perfect will of God. There are steps and stages. Over in Mark chapter 4, the parable about the man who cast seed into the ground. But it says that in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Notice there's three things here. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I'm not saying that there's only three steps, but I'm saying that there are steps towards fulfilling God's will. And if you are receiving what I'm saying and you recognize that you've got to find out what God's will for your life is, you know, the Lord isn't going to show you everything, the end results, the complete results right now, because you wouldn't be able to handle it. It'd do a number of things to you. Some of you, God's plans for you are so big and so much bigger than what you're thinking right now that if God was to reveal to you the complete, perfect manifestation of what He wants you to accomplish, you would be overwhelmed by it. It would either terrify you so much you would run the other direction in terror, or some of you would wind up rebuking this and saying, that's the devil, I don't believe that. You know, it would just overwhelm you. Or here's another response to it. Some of you, if you were to see what God's plans really are for you, and if you saw the total completion of it, you would become so impatient and so dissatisfied with where you are that you wouldn't take these necessary steps. And so therefore, God reveals things to you step at a time. You know, it's like if there was 10 steps between where you are and where God really wants to bring you, why would God show you step number 10 or show you step number 1 through 10 and make you liable, accountable for all of that information if you haven't done number 1? The Lord just guides you step by step. He'll show you the first step. You know, again, I go back to our Bible college. I see this illustrated a lot, that people get stirred up. They see me and they get, the Lord is telling them there's something more, and so they start believing, and they don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they know that God wants them to commit their life completely unto Him. They want to start moving in a direction to where their life is going to count for God and for the kingdom of God. And the first step for a lot of people is just coming to Bible school. I couldn't tell you the number, hundreds of people I've seen do this. And then when they come here and they take step number 1, then God shows them step number 2. And there have been some people that graduated 10, 12 years ago from our Bible college, and I can see how they've progressed on up through step number 4, step number 5. And you can see how God is leading them step by step into His perfect will. In my own personal life, you know, God, first of all, touched me and then showed me that I was going to be in ministry, but I didn't know what kind of ministry. There's a lot of different ways you could minister. And then he kept getting more and more specific. And even after I found out that I was going to be a teacher, I didn't know how I was going to do that. I started pastoring a church for a period of time. That never was God's perfect, complete will for me, but it was great training for me. Pity the people that were in my churches and that learned at my expense. But God led me step by step. I pastored three churches, and I was on radio for 20-something years, and then God led me to television. And the Lord told me in 1999, right before we started our television broadcast, January the 3rd of 2000, the Lord spoke to me, and He says, "You are just now fulfilling my call on your life. If you would have died prior to going on television, January the 3rd, 2000, you would have missed my will for your life." And At that time, I had been seeking God for 32 years. I'd pastored churches. I'd been on radio. I'd been traveling and ministering. I'd seen great things happen. And yet, you know what? It took all of these steps, 32 years, before I really began to see God's will come to pass. So I'm just saying these things. Some people that you think, well, boy, this is discouraging. Well, it's not meant to discourage. It's meant to help you. That God isn't going to necessarily show you step 1 through 100. He's going to show you the next step. If you will become a living sacrifice and then begin to renew your mind and start doing what God tells you, God will just show you the next step. And I'm convinced that there's some people that the reason you haven't got a greater revelation of what God's purpose for your life is because you're disobedient right now to the thing that He's shown you. You know, I have people come to me all the time and say, well, God told me to do this, but I just don't know how I'm going to do it. And they go on and talk for a long time. And then they give me an opportunity to speak. And I say, you lost me the moment you said God told you to do this. If God told you to do it, you just do it. You don't worry about the consequences. It doesn't matter if hell freezes over. It doesn't matter what happens. Again, I've had people say that God has called me to come to the Bible school. I know I'm supposed to be there, but I just don't see how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do this. How am I going to pay for this? What kind of a job am I going to get? And I just tell people, I say, look, if God told you to do it, you just do it. And you let the chips fall where they may. You don't worry about anything else. You've got to recognize that there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There's steps and stages. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. There's steps and stages, and you've got to be faithful to follow the leading that you have. Why would God give you more leading if you aren't following the step that He's already given you? But here's the point I've been trying to get across for the last few days, is that God has a plan. He birthed you with that plan. He's not just now coming into your life and looking at what you can offer and saying, well, why don't you try this? No, God created you with a purpose and with a plan. And you need to find out what that is and move in that direction. Today's going to be my last day to offer the second teaching in this new album on Don't Limit God. We're going to continue to offer the album, but the second teaching in this album, this will be my last day to offer that. And so you need to call or write today and request these materials. We offer the second teaching, this individual teaching in the set, as our free gift to you. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you more information about how to receive these products. And I encourage you to call or write today and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's 5-part teaching titled Don't Limit God was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 2 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK148C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
Let me emphasize once again that today is our last day to offer the second teaching in this new album on Don't Limit God. Now, the way we make our materials available, we have a suggested donation for this album on Don't Limit God, but it is a suggested donation. We ask you to send something, but people's ability to give varies. And so, just whatever you can do, we'll send you this album, this teaching on Don't Limit God. But there's some people who could not or would not send anything. And so, to help you, we make each individual teaching available free of charge, one at a time. And today is our last day to offer you this second part in this five-part set on Don't Limit God. So call or write today.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Caris Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs. Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.